Monday Meditation, May 2nd, 2004. The question today has to do with, well, first of all, catalyst, determining what our catalyst is. So we would like to have a little information upon how we can determine what it is that is catalyst in our life and what we should be focusing on. And the second part of the question has to do with the way catalyst can be processed. When it is successful, it seems like the success comes from being able to look at the catalyst with a light touch, being able to look at it as catalyst and develop a certain sort of tolerance and patience with it as you work with it. And catalyst which has gone awry, as Ross said, tends to cause in us the feelings of frustration and anger and doubt and depression. So we would like, for the second part of the question, for Quo to give us a bit of information about how to stay on the track where we develop the qualities of tolerance and patience, and how to avoid the frustration and anger.
We are those known to you as the principle of Quo, and we greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator in whose service we are. It is a great privilege and blessing to be called to your group this day, and we thank you with all our hearts to be able to be a part of your meditation and to share our thoughts with you is to us a powerful help, as it enables us to share our service as we hoped to do when we chose to undertake this time among your peoples. It has never been more pleasurable to undertake service to those of planet Earth than when we speak with this particular group. And we thank you for maintaining the eagerness and the openness for truth that creates the vibration which calls us to you. As always, we would ask, in order to preserve free will, that each of you guard your own powers of discrimination carefully and use them well as you listen to those things which we would say to you this day. It is important to us that you realize that we are not authorities, but rather your companions upon the way. Your query this day is interesting to us, and we thank you for asking us to speak upon the subject of catalyst. The message which we have to offer to those who would hear our voice remains very simple. There is a vibratory nature to creation, and the various fields of energy which comprise all of the complex parts of all of your bodies, be they physical or metaphysical, vibrate at a certain, shall we say, series of harmonics, which in total add up to the complex of vibrations, which is as an orchestra playing your song. And we recognize each entity's melody fairly well. It is a signature like no other in its completeness. So each of you is a vibration that is at some harmonic in general with those about you, with the groups that comprise your planetary sphere, and with the Creator and the creation as a whole. These vibrations are disturbed or changed by any number of stimuli on any number of levels, speaking of the physical body, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, and the inner bodies altogether. Catalyst, then, is a term that is used to describe that which, while being unchanged, creates changes in this complex of energy fields and the vibrations thereof. Within a chemical experiment, there is a little arrow that is used to indicate the catalyst only goes one way. A chemical reaction does not go forwards and backwards. It only goes forwards. And so it is with the catalyst that you experience. One cannot look back. One cannot go back. One cannot possibly repeat one's experiences. One shall indeed meet each experience again. But it is a spiral of experience and catalyst and experience and catalyst. And each time you meet the same type or class of catalyst, you have a new opportunity to recognize the catalyst, to locate the trigger of the catalyst, to examine the equation of the catalyst, what is going into the chemical experiment, what's being cooked, and what comes out at the other end. And you have the opportunity, if you choose to use the will and the discipline to take it, to alter by removing various, shall we say, of the chemicals of your emotions, your thoughts, and your triggers. Thereby changing the equation and changing the result of this particular little experiment in the life of yourself. Now let us look at this model a bit more closely. We use the term trigger to describe the action of catalyst. A catalyst comes into the purview of the being. It does not come into the catalyst, it does not come into the ambient environment of the entity on purpose. There is no innate consciousness to the way things occur from the level of their occurrence. There is a causative factor inherent in the carefully made agreements that were entered into before incarnation. Biases were set up in the very currents of destiny surrounding the particular nexus of energies that represents the opportunity for an incarnation. When a body and parents and so forth are chosen, this nexus becomes potentiated, and that particular little destiny that is your pre-game game plan clicks into place and begins to unroll the scroll of space-time as you, as an entity, enter into a body, become embodied and enfleshed, take form by birth, and begin to unravel the great tale that is the story of your life. So one source of catalyst that is dependable and ongoing can loosely be called guidance or the higher self or destiny. For there has been implanted within your game plan, shall we say, repetitive cycles of the introduction of certain catalysts into the ambient environment so that you may work with certain balances and biases within one or more of your energy bodies. The inner work of an incarnation is primarily in those energy bodies in the inner planes. Those bodies that are closer to the heart of why you are a being, or shall we say, why the Creator finds it inevitable and useful to create beings such as yourselves. That is one source of catalyst. And as you can identify those catalysts that point to incarnational level lessons, you as a seeker can begin to see into the game plan, to begin to think not like the victim of circumstance, but the person who planned all this and find that certain things have simply slipped her mind. If you can find this attitude in times of stress, that you really have responsibility for this situation, but my goodness, you seem to have forgotten just a bit of the pattern. And now there is work to do. Then you may do the work of identifying catalyst, locating the trigger, and to the extent possible in the situation, doing what you can to remove the trigger or to alter the circumstances. You have become far more a person of power than you were before. Every time you are able to identify the catalyst and the trigger within you that caused an otherwise harmless detail to become powerful in your life, you have learned about yourself and have begun to take responsibility for learning in a conscious way what you would inevitably learn without consciousness, no matter what, by the sheer pressure of repetition. Each time you are able to get on board with the game plan beforehand or during the catalysts coming up, you become more able to retain your power. And eventually, you become able to use that power wisely and with compassion. And this is particularly important regarding yourself although it is very helpful when you may achieve that same compassion for others. In the case of the identification and the working with catalyst, the primary player in the drama is the self, and therefore the entity to be forgiven, accepted, and loved unconditionally is the self. We speak in terms of power here, because when catalyst causes one to react, the catalyst, innocent though it may be, and unasking of power as it is, has the power. It is only as a person begins to be able to see into the process of these repetitive, cyclical testings or introductions of catalyst into the environment, that one begins to be able to settle into a relationship with catalyst, which sees catalyst, destiny, and unexpected events in general with an eagerness and a freshness of attitude that invites that which is to come and looks forward to the next lesson, the next test, the next introduction of discomfort into an otherwise serene atmosphere. Within the confines of your illusion and the life which you experience consciously, awake and working with your day, there is a tremendous amount of power in becoming eager for that next piece of catalyst. When you at last find an appetite for change, for learning, for newness, then it is that you are more able to invoke discipline when it would seem that difficult or unpleasant circumstances arise. Admittedly, as we gaze through this instrument's recent recollections, we can see that it is not always an easy thing to create the environment for the self that is a safe environment for total honesty in looking at the catalyst of the self. It is often a lowering experience in terms of what this instrument would call ego, to look into the mechanics or the psychology of the self, to see just how vulnerable the self is to catalyst that could be seen to be that which is at the level of the teenager or the child or even the toddler in some cases. And yet each entity retains all identities which have not proven themselves useless in terms of producing further learning. So until you as an entity are through, completely through with learning of all of the lessons that are possible to learn within incarnation, you shall, according to the prerequisites of your own game plan, receive the spiraling, cycling opportunities to react to the catalyst. It shall come around again and again. This is not a ploy to drive the spiritual seeker crazy. It is a necessary way of checking the self to see where the self truly is, where the feet come down on the road in any given incarnational lesson. Thusly, catalyst may eventually, for a person in a certain way, become that which enters the consciousness, proceeds through the consciousness, and walks out the other side without causing any reaction. The entity is still aware of the catalyst and still aware of its trigger, which speaks, but not loudly enough for the self to take seriously. For it has been worked so often and so well that there is no longer the potential for a reaction. Thusly, and only in this way, is catalyst at last neutralized. Until the energy in that catalyst's appearance is gone, there will be continuing work. Thusly, we would suggest that whenever catalyst arises, that the most efficient attitude for the skillful worker in consciousness is to thank it, to open the self to it, to ask it to move through as quickly as possible, if especially it is difficult. But to put no sort of resistance up against it. The skillful seeker will sit with the catalyst while allowing it to move through the system and create the emotional changes and reactions that it will. The self can still witness, or be a witness to, these reactions, these feelings, these worthy and needed expressions of the present moment. The purpose of working with catalyst is not to defeat the catalyst, but to cooperate with the catalyst, to move into the catalyst, to move into that collection of energy, that node that has been created by the catalyst, and to see why the arrow is there, why the energy for reaction is there, what that energy is, where it comes from within the energy body in terms of the chakra involved and so forth. Then finding that trigger, finding that wounded part of the self that is not comfortable yet with the self, and looking at that trigger to see how deeply it goes into the self, and to ask it once again. For those to whom we speak have in many cases identified several of the kinds of catalyst of which we speak. to enter into understanding it more and more. Not to get rid of it, but to learn from it. To absorb it. To be it. In the surrender to this node of concentrated energy, there is a magical component that increases as there is an increase in the confidence and faith within the seeker in the process that has been engaged by the activation of the catalyst. There is tremendous power in knowing why something is happening to one. In knowing not what provoked a certain person to do something or what strange machinery created a coincidence that is complex and deep, but rather knowing that one is in good hands. One is in the hands of guidance and having faith in the process that will deliver one at the end of that process a greater gift to the Creator and a greater asset to the self, because the balance of the energy body that has been worked on has improved, has come closer to that which was hoped before incarnation. The question of how to recognize catalyst is almost that which we cannot answer, for it seems too simple a thing to need a response, and yet the query remains, and so we would simply say that when one's tenor of thought or one's mood changes, the changes are either inconsequential, ephemeral, and insubstantial, in which case there is no learning going on, or they are more substantial, consequential, and meaningful, in which case there will be a plangent note to the moment of catalyst. There will be a sudden change in the vibration which you are putting out and giving to the world as your gift to it. In that change, the balance has shifted either more towards the vibration of the Creator or less towards the vibration of the Creator. When catalyst occurs, the result of which is that the entity is more in tune with the Creator. This is normally not seen as a situation which needs any concern, for it is seen as a positive thing. It is enjoyable to feel bliss and joy and peace. When catalyst such as that occurs, there is only rejoicing on the part of the seeker. Yet when there is catalyst that causes the exact opposite within the seeker, that causes a contraction in the self that pulls it away from a feeling of unity and oneness, then it is seen as a, quote, bad thing, close quote. this attitude may always be examined. For locked within each seeker's deep mind is that collection of biases which before incarnation you genuinely and deeply intended to work with until you were more satisfied with the achieved balance. Now, we speak repeatedly of balance, and usually it is a balance that is between love and wisdom, between the green ray and the blue, indigo, violet trinity of rays. It is very attractive to many wanderers, especially in incarnation upon planet Earth, to stay within the upper triad of energies using this system of the seven chakras and an octave system. It is similarly attractive to others who have come into incarnation from a point of different balance to lean into the green ray open heart and to see everything in terms of keeping the heart open. Either focus, if taken to the extreme of not invoking the other, is unbalanced. So there are entities who are attempting to balance their energies more into the green ray, into an integration with green ray of their blue ray strengths, and there are others who are doing precisely the opposite, attempting to soften their green ray with wisdom. Perhaps this may help in thinking about this very interesting subject. To become able to work with catalyst, be unafraid of catalyst, and refrain from contracting when catalyst is felt, is a tremendous aid in becoming able to live consciously. And she who lives consciously is she who is truly being that light that is upon the hill. She who lives consciously is able to be more than one absorbed in a process. And perhaps that is what we may say about the light touch. It is a very absorbing process to become aware of the self, to become at last one who is living consciously, magically, positively, and constructively. This fascination, however, can blind one to the beauty, the wonder, the majesty of every moment that is lived, every heartbeat that is enjoyed, every tear, every laugh that is experienced. The gifts of life and thought are marvelous. And the more that it can be seen that this catalyst and these sometimes dreary processes are taking place in the Garden of Eden, in beauty indescribable, the more that this sojourn in the Valley of the Shadow of Death, as this instrument would call life, becomes triumphant, funny, wonderful, delicious, a thing of real splendor. That is the potential of each breath. That is the shadow of what is possible when one becomes fully conscious and is able to express passion and excitement and equanimity and simply becomes able to enjoy the show. For upon a very substantial level, it is a show. It is a production. It is a performance. There is an endless search within each for reality, the reality of the self, the reality of the life, that which is the ground of being. You shall never find it. You can only find images of it. You can, however, be the ground of being. You can be essence. You can be so much more than you can say. And in many ways, the doing, the thinking, the working with catalyst and the whole process is aimed at delivering you at last to being. The one known as Gary was talking with this instrument this morning concerning this instrument's bias against the use of feel-good music in church services. This entity was saying that she appreciated the more complex sacred works which bring suffering and doubt and many complex and somewhat dark emotions into the singing of sacred thoughts, so that the entire human experience is able to be brought into this sacred space through such music. Whereas in the so-called praise music, there is a seeming separation between the suffering person and the good feelings which are generated by praising. There are times, however, when praise music of whatever kind lifts the spirits is very helpful. Perhaps for a certain entity it might be a country music song or a classical music piece or some other form of seeming distraction. Yet, well chosen, such distractions are very helpful, whether they be good art, as this instrument would call it, or bad art, as this instrument, a born critic, again, would call it. That which lifts the spirit and changes the atmosphere is sometimes very helpful, as nonsensical and illogical as such things are. It is not well to allow itself simply to rest in a state of panic or unhappiness or depression. There is a time for sitting with catalyst. And when that time has come to an end, and for each entity the rhythms are different, there is the time of asking the self to rise up, give thanks, and move on into the rest of the day, into the rest of that which is available when one is not focused on a certain piece of catalyst. We encourage you not to allow yourselves to become so absorbed in the process of learning that you become unavailable to the present moment. There is a juggling act going on in so many ways, as Several within this group have said earlier this day, there is so much to think about and so much to do. As you juggle, you will drop balls. And as the one known as Jim says, when you drop the balls, that too is part of juggling. And the reaction to dropping them should not be that which is judgmental or harsh, but simply to encourage the self to pick that dropped ball up with grace, style, and humor. Lastly, you questioned concerning how to avoid bitterness and how to encourage the self to not use catalyst or rhyme. That is perhaps a topic we may save for another day in terms of really moving into it. But in general, we may say that one is almost never able to see ahead of time that one is going to be bitter, defensive, angry, and so forth. So one is not able to defend against such times. They simply come upon one, and one finds oneself in the shadows and very unhappy for one reason or another, and in one way or another, depending upon the personality shell. When you're in the soup, there is no use objecting to yourself because you fell or because you're wet. Bitterness comes into the life because it is a way to keep the attention away from getting out of the soup. The energy of one who has run afoul of catalyst and is struggling can be focused in one of two ways. It can be focused in trying to stay afloat, or it can be focused in trying to get out of the cup of soup. Climbing the slippery china walls of your cup is not easy. And it requires far different skills than treading water. However, those who tread water shall be doomed to repeat the exercise, never being allowed to drown. And never, while treading water, able to garner the energy that is required for the tremendous effort needed to break the pattern and create a ladder of will and discipline that allows you to clamber over that china cup and get out of the soup. There is no question, but it is easier to tread water, stay in the soup, and repine concerning the difficulty that one is in than it is to gather the energies and create by will and faith alone that ladder out of the situation and back to a sense of owning the self and not being a victim of circumstance. However, it is through such work that one is able to move through the refining fire, not burning to a cinder, but rather becoming more and more tempered. more and more burnished, and more flexible. We find that our time is up, and it is time to open the meeting to queries. Are there queries at this time?
Dear Cole, I've got one, and I don't need a whole lot of information, but something that I've been thinking about. On June 8th, there's a Venus transit, which lasts 8 years, which will bring us, like, right to the year 2012. And I was wondering about your opinion. Is this an important event, or is it just one of the many smaller important events leading up to the Ascension? But is this, I guess what I'm asking, is this event something that we should really look at to move us into a higher consciousness?
We are those of Kuelin are aware of your query, my sister. We believe that information could be gleaned by those who have intuitive gifts and a wide and deep knowledge of astrology. There is much to be learned always from the movements of the stars and their influence upon the body of Earth itself and each of you as well. However, the chief excitement which remains upon our own minds is that great interest that we have in seeing the way entities are awakening and becoming more and more able to live consciously and radiate light. This is far more factor in the eventual outcome of your peoples and the, shall we say, end of the age than any cosmic influence. Much lies at this time in the hearts and the hands of entities upon planet Earth this time. May we answer you further, my sister?
No, thanks. Thank you.
We thank you, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
Well, I have a series of questions sent in from readers abroad, but first, I know, knowing Tim, that when he has a question, he will hold his off and let others ask their questions, so I'd like to ask if Tim has a question before I ask a series of questions.
No guarantee, nothing.
Okay. This question is from Bam Bam. In 1987, I lost my job, broke up my marriage, left my wife and children, and lost my desire to live. I totally surrendered my life to the Source. It was my turning point. And ever since I've been on my spiritual path, remarried and lived happily. However, there is still some bitterness within my children and my ex-wife towards me, while sometimes I still feel guilty to have left them. I would appreciate it if Quo would throw some light on our relationship at the soul level and give us some guidance on how to heal the wounds.
We are those of Quo and are aware of the query, my brother. And we thank you for vibrating that query for him. To the one known as Bam Bang, we would say that the true nature of the relationship betwixt you and your ex-spouse is oneness. The energies that you experience at this time may fruitfully be examined for just those things which we were speaking about earlier. The catalyst involved, the triggers involved, and the biases that are involved in the particular lesson that you and your ex-spouse share. Often, this work cannot be done together with another in such a situation. And so, it is very helpful if the entity has the energy to step into the other self's shoes to such an extent that the one known as Bam Bang is able to see through the eyes of the ex-spouse, sitting there until there is as full as possible an understanding on the conscious level of the dynamics involved in this particular node of catalyst. The details of past lives and so forth are not those things with which we would prefer to deal, as we would wish to limit comments to those that are helpful to all entities and at all times. The spiritual principle involved here is the principle of responsibility for one's actions. When there is the full acceptance of the self, the full forgiveness of the self, and the full appreciation of the present moment, then such concerns as are expressed in the query become details which do not have the power to alter consciousness within the self. We encourage the reading of the channeling through this instrument that was given at the first part of this meditation. Is there another query at this time, my brother?
This next one comes in from Stephanie B.
Schmidt.
I've only recently been exposed to the term crystal kids. I would like to know as much information as possible on these children. Who are crystal kids? How are they different from the indigo kids, and what can you tell us about their births on Earth?
We are those of Quo and are aware of your query, my brother. We correct this instrument, my sister. From our standpoint, there is virtually no difference in those called indigo children and those called crystal kids. The designations indicate a double activated third density, fourth density body, which makes such children, as they grow up, more able to access fourth density reality. Since fourth density is here, since entities are living in a combined third density, fourth density atmosphere, there is an increasing ability for all people to work upon the, what this instrument would call DNA, to work upon the self at the cellular level, lifting consciousness and asking it to take hold of the new reality that is interpenetrating third density. These children are far more able to do this than those with only the yellow ray body activated. because their DNA is already altered to some extent. However, their purpose here is as pioneers. They come in terms of fourth density at very basic and primitive conditions and are giving their lives to help establish fourth density and to be bridges of light for those who would listen to that which they would have to say and to live in such a way as to follow such advice as they would give. To put it another way, they are here to radiate light and love, as are all entities. It is hoped by their higher selves that they will have more efficacy in doing so than those who have not the advantage of a double activated body. Is there another query at this time?
This is the last one outside query. This one comes from Terry Zhu, HSU. Dr. Sun Yat-sen is the founding father of Republic of China. This republic is as short-lived as himself. However, he is respected by both Chinese and Taiwanese, both Communist Party and Kuomintang Party. If at all possible, could Kuo speak about Dr. Sun Yat-sen's life?
We are those of Kuo and are aware of your query, my brother. This entity was one whose energy was that of the heart, and yet whose abilities included communication. This entity was a brilliant blue ray being who was able to inspire and to lead because communication rested upon a compassionate and humane structure of character. This entity gave greatly of itself and was exemplary in its habits and inner disciplines, creating an incarnation of stature. Is there another query at this time?
I have a personal one, Kuo. In the last channeling, you stated that until one has individuated, one cannot begin magical work. And yet one is never fully individuated. So, logically speaking, one could never begin magical work. Yet there is, shall we say, a critical mass only that needs to be reached, and it is by no means a large percentage of the actual available will of an entity. Ra also spoke of a, quote, set level of lack of distortion required to tap intelligent energy through crystals or through any other use. So the first part of my question is, are Kuo and are Ra speaking of this, of the same point? And the second part of the question is, can you describe more about this point, and are there any telltale signs that will manifest in the entity when this point has been reached?
We are those of Kuo and are aware of your query, my brother. We cannot speak to the first part of your query in this setting. Although, if you wish, we are able to address it at length at another time. To respond to the second portion of your query, the telltale signs of magical working are the sudden changes of a profound nature in circumstance, which reflect a synchronicity that is obvious. Synchronicity is indeed a mark of one who has activated a certain magicalness within its own nature. May we answer you further, my brother?
Perhaps might that sudden change not only reflect in the outer physical world through synchronicity, but might that look or feel or give one the space, the freedom, to love that which before was unlovable?
We are those of call and are aware of your query, my brother. Such a circumstance might occur, my brother. May we answer you further?
No, thank you very much, Quill.
We thank you, my brother. Is there a final query at this time?
How may the distortions of pride and arrogance be recognized when you are the one experiencing them?
We are those of Quo and are aware of your query, my brother. We smile because we are aware of this instrument's deep and intense involvement in this very query for the last little bit of her time. Because of this factor, it is more difficult to answer your query, my brother. However, we may say that when the self in its inner contemplations begins to cast aspersions upon another, it is possible that pride and arrogance have been invoked, and that there are more circumstances than one is aware of which might change the attitude from that sourness to a more balanced and compassionate view. When that typical sourness, which has that taste of judgment, comes into the mouth, into the mind, then it may be that there are lessons in humility that could easily be taken up with advantage. May we answer you further, my brother?
That's quite sufficient. Thank you.
We thank you, my brother. And we thank each of you. This group is such a blessing to us, and it is such a pleasure to speak with you through this instrument. We just thank you with all of our hearts. And we wish each of you to know that you are in our hearts, and that at any time that you wish to have our company during meditation, you have only to ask. For we are those who love each of you. Certainly, the beauty of each of you is remarkable, and we thank each of you for sharing the experience of this meeting with us. We leave you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator, Adonai. We are those of Kuo.